Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing on with the life of David at the very end of it. David is on his deathbed. It's at the end of his life, and he's given some commandments to Solomon. And we're in the midst of that, and he has just told him, hey, I want you to act according to your wisdom, but I want you to deal with Abner. You know what he did to me. And he gave him some detail about it. And he told Solomon, do not let his gray head go down the Sheol in peace. In other words, don't let him live out a full life to the end of life where he dies naturally. Take care of him, but do it in your own wisdom. Doesn't have to be right now, but I don't want his hair to get gray. But then he told him, hey, I want you to deal loyally with Barzillai. And this is a guy that had helped David when Absalom was chasing him. Verse 80 picks up somebody else. And you may remember him. David speaking now. And there is also with you Shemaiah, the son of Jerah, the Benjamite from Baarum, who cursed me with a grievous curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. You remember that? When David was fleeing, he's crossing the Jordan, this guy's yelling and screaming and cursing David and doing all this. And some of David's people at that time wanted to kill him dead, okay? And David says, no, I mean, he's speaking the word of the Lord. You know, who knows? Now he's talking about that same guy. Verse 80 continues. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. So David is saying, hey, I told the guy, I would not put him to death with the sword. And I haven't. Verse 9. Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. Now, on this side of history, we know that Solomon is known as one of the wisest men that's ever lived. We'll just say it that way. David knew how wise Solomon was. And so he's reiterating that. He's already said it. Use your wisdom. Now he's saying, you are a wise man. So don't hold Shimei guiltless. Now, David said, I told him I wouldn't put him to death. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't guilty of something. So I'm asking you not to hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do with him, and you shall bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol. Huh. So he's telling him, hey, this guy's already got gray hair. Apparently, hey, you're to deal with him. You're to bring him down to Sheol. And you're going to know when you ought to do this. Verse 10. Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. So David died, as all people do. Verse 11. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron. 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Well, how was his kingdom firmly established? Well, we've already seen some things that established his kingdom, the way that David set him up, the way the baton was passed, that kind of thing. But then the way he dealt with things. We're going to read the balance of this chapter. Next episode or two, and we'll see that he expedites what David told him to do, that he does that. But then he also deals with some other things. So here's an example of that. Verse 13, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. Now, you remember Adonijah. He's the half-brother, the brother of Solomon, the one that was scared that Solomon was going to kill him. And Solomon said, hey, if you do what's right, you'll be fine. But if you do evil, okay, if you do evil, then you will be killed. That same guy, Adonijah, comes to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. So he comes to mama. Well, that's always a little suspicious, right? But he comes to her. And she said to him, do you come peacefully? And he said, peacefully. Well, that tells us a lot about the dynamics of the family and extended family right there. First thing she says, hey, are you coming in peace or you want to fight? And he says, peacefully. Then he said, I have something to say to you. And she says, speak. He said, you know that the kingdom was mine and that all Israel fully expected me to reign. However, the kingdom has turned about and become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. So I'm sort of using that tone and that inflection on purpose. Can you imagine the audacity to come in and to say that this way? He says, you know, the kingdom is mine. And that was true. Israel had expected him to reign. But the kingdom of turn was given to his brother because it was from the Lord. It was from the Lord. He had to acknowledge it was from the Lord, but he didn't like it. Verse 16, he continues, and now I have one request to make of you. Do not refuse me. She said to him, speak. And he said, please ask King Solomon. He will not refuse you. Ask him to give me Abishag, the Shunammite, as my wife. Remember who Abishag was? That's the virgin that kept David in his last days, who would stay next to him, who would sleep with him to keep him warm, but he never touched her. That girl, he wanted her for his wife. Well, we know that she was phenomenally beautiful. The scripture says that. Bathsheba said, very well, I will speak for you to the king. She was a very wise woman. She's a very shrewd woman. She just says, very well, I will speak for you to the king. Did she really want this to happen? I don't think so. I think she knew that he just messed up. So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah. And the king rose to meet her and bowed down to her. The king bows down to mama. Oh, that's cool. Then he sat on the throne, and he had a seat brought for the king's mother. And she sat on his right. So she's sitting on the right on the throne. Then she said, I have one small request to make of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, make your request, my mother, for I will not refuse you. And this was very much sort of the way that dialogue would carry on. We do a lot of kind of same type of stuff like this today. So he says, I'm not going to refuse you anything. Verse 21, she said, let Abishag, the Shunammite, be given to Adonijah, your brother, as his wife. King Solomon answered his mother, and why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother, and on his side are Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God did me, and more also, if this word does not cost Adonijah his life. Now, therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and placed me on the throne of David, my father, and who has made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah will be put to death today. So King Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down, and he died. And you say, well, that's sort of rude. I mean, I thought he said he'd do whatever mama wanted him to do. He saw through it, too. He saw what the ruse was. He knew that Adonijah wanted her. Yeah, he wanted her because of a wife, but that if he had her, that's David's woman. No matter what they said, everybody would be thinking David had been with her, and he had David's woman. And what happened with David and Absalom with the concubines? The same idea. And so Abiathar the priest was on his side. Joab's on his side. Now to have him be able to say that, well, I've got David's last wife, the one that was with him in the bitter end right here, that he would leverage that to get the people to follow him to become king. It was an evil thing. Remember what Solomon said? If you don't do what's evil, you'll be fine. If you do what's evil, you'll die. He did what was evil. He died. But there's still more. Well, again, I'm Dale. I'll see y'all on the next episode.